We now know the identity of the 16 teams through to the knockout stages of the UEFA Champions League. Liverpool had the chance to make history as a fifth English club in the round of 16, and they did it in some style at Anfield.
Here's Salah. Is this the moment? He takes a touch. He finishes. Salah on the score sheet. 7 goals for Liverpool. A heavenly performance.
Chelsea join Roma in the next round at the expense of the 2014 and 2016 finalists.
There is the full-time whistle. It's second place for Chelsea and the Europa League for Atletico.
Manchester United and Paris Saint-Germain were confirmed as group winners, while last year's runners-up did what they needed to progress.
Bernadeschi goes on his own and he bends it into the far bottom corner. And Juventus will be playing in the UEFA Champions League in the new year.
Basel are through, as are Shakhtar and Porto, who did it with an impressive win over last year's semi-finalists.
Ricardo with the cross into the middle, and it's headed in by Francisco Suarez on as a substitute, but they've now got five.
We'll hear from key players and head coaches, including Jurgen Klopp, Pep Guardiola, Jose Mourinho and Eden Hazard, as we analyse all of the group stage action right here on the official UEFA Champions League podcast. Hello, I'm Rob Daly, and there's so much to discuss after the final two nights of group stage action in this season's UEFA Champions League. European football expert Chris Parrott is here. Chris, let's start by a brief mention of Wednesday, the likes of Liverpool, Porto and Shakhtar getting it done.
Yeah, goals galore, 33, which means we've had more goals in this group stage than any other group stage, record-breaking. Cristiano Ronaldo achieved a group stage first, becoming the first man to score on all six match days. It was action everywhere across Europe. It was a brilliant end to what has been a fabulous group stage.
OK, let's start with a classified check of all of match day six's results. Tuesday, Group A, Benfica 0, Basel 2, Manchester United 2, CSKA Moskva 1. Group B, Celtic 0, Anderlecht 1, Bayern 3, Paris Saint-Germain 1. Group C, Chelsea 1, Atletico 1, Roma 1, Karabakh 0. And in Group D, Barcelona 2, Sporting 0, Olympiacos 0, Juventus 2. And on Wednesday, Group E, Liverpool 7, Spartak Moskva 0, Maribor 1, Sevilla 1. Group F, Feyenoord 2, Napoli 1, Shakhtar Donetsk 2, Manchester City 1. Group G, Porto 5, Monaco 2, Leipzig 1, Besiktas 2. And in Group H, Real Madrid 3, Borussia Dortmund 2, Tottenham Hotspur 3, Apoel 0. So confirmation of the 16 teams through now. Manchester United, Basel, Paris Saint-Germain, Bayern, Roma, Chelsea, Barcelona, Juventus, Manchester City, Besiktas, Tottenham, Real Madrid, Liverpool, Sevilla, Shakhtar and Porto. Not bad at all. Let's start our review by going back to Tuesday night's action with a tight affair at Stamford Bridge in Group C. Watch for us by Adam Summerton.
Morata gets on the turn and it's a right-footed shot that was always curling but not quite enough to bend into that near post, and it's behind for a goal kick. Great shot on the turn though.
That was one of those ones where with some angles you might thought it was going in.
Moses now down by the dead ball line, pulls it back to Alvaro Morata. Good save by Oblak, still 0-0. Zappa Costa now, edge of the area, onto his right foot, drives it in. Great save by Oblak down to his right. I think the keeper saw that late. It's a brilliant save down to his right-hand side. On target from Zappa Costa, and it's behind for a corner. Flicked on here by Torres, and Saúl Ñíguez was in there, and he scored for Atletico. The flick on by Torres. Saúl Ñíguez was unmarked inside the six-yard box, and he headed home unchallenged. Hazard, he gets his shot, and he missed deflected, and it's in. Chelsea have equalised at Stamford Bridge. It was Eden Hazard with the shot, but it took a wicked deflection inside the box that deceived Oblak. And Conte has his arms outstretched, waving them about at the crowd. It's level pegging at the bridge. Chelsea 1, Atletico 1.
Pleased with the performance. Asking myself how we've not won that in the end, to be honest. But nevertheless, you know, to come from behind 1-1. And like I said, we should have won that.
It is a good draw because Atletico Madrid, they play very well. They are very strong, so we are happy today.
Well, Chelsea through, but not group winners. Chris Parrott, you were at Stamford Bridge and were around the Chelsea camp for much of the build-up to this one. How disappointed do you think they'll be deep down to have not won the group?
Well, they tried to mask it, certainly Antonio Conte did in his post-match press conference, but I think there was frustration. You could see it on the players' faces at the full-time whistle that they created easily enough chances to win the game. Jan Oblak was magnificent. In the end, they were undone by some poor marking. That was Antonio Conte's words for the goal. Sao Niguez with it, you know, was totally unchallenged to put them ahead. And, you know, for a moment, Atletico thought it might be possible to pit Roma. But Roma came storming back, as we mentioned, and ended up winning the group. But yeah, from Chelsea's point of view, they'll be disappointed not to have won it. And the way that the other games have gone and the other groups have gone, they can only actually draw three teams now because all the other English teams won.
So who are the three teams they can draw now?
Paris Saint-Germain, Barcelona or Besiktas. So, I mean, it's going to be tough for Chelsea and they might well look back and say, hey, we really should have won that game. But Conte did make the point that when he was in charge of Italy at Euro 2016, they won the group and who did they get in the last 16? Spain. So, you know, It swings in roundabouts, isn't it?
The Telegraph was making very much the point you've made, Chris, about maybe regretting this opportunity. Atletico move into the UEFA Europa League now. But for Roma, what an achievement. They beat Carabag 1-0. Perotti was generally considered man of the match in Gazzetta dello Sport in Italy, one of the newspapers there. Roma, the capital for the UEFA Champions League, was one of their headlines as well in the Italian press. I'll be honest, but when the draw was made, I wasn't backing them to get through, and I was even worrying that they might be in a situation that Dortmund were in, perhaps in their similar group to Spurs and Real Madrid.
Third favourites, I think, in against the English champions and a team who reached the semi-finals last season and two finals in very recent memory in Atletico. But Roma did the job against a Carabag team who were never really, apart from Chelsea, they were never really thumped in any games. They got 2 points off of Atletico again. The Azerbaijani champions making history this season and giving a very good account of themselves. But Roma just about had enough. Just a word for the Carabag goalkeeper, Ibrahim Sejic. You might remember he was magnificent in the draw in Madrid against Atletico. Well, he was great in Rome as well, but Perotti with the goal. And yeah, Roma topping the section. Fair play.
Yeah, Roma and Chelsea both on 11 points, but because of that 3-0 win, you may remember, in Rome, it is De Francesco's side that win the group and Atletico go into the UEFA Europa League now. In Group A, Manchester United beat CSKA Moskva 2-1 at Old Trafford to top the group, while Basel were confirmed as runners-up after they beat Benfica in Portugal. Let's hear from the United boss Jose Mourinho as he assesses their chances of going all the way.
Now we are just 16 and after the knockout we'll be just 8. Let's see. We are not candidates, far from it. There are teams very powerful. There are teams with great experience at this level. But let's see. Let's see how it goes. But now we have lots of matches in the English competitions and we can forget Champions League for a couple of months.
Varying quotes from Jose Mourinho after the game about whether they do have a chance of winning it or not. At that side, United back at, and I know you're around Manchester United a lot, Chris, they're back at the level they feel they should be in the knockout stages of this competition.
Yeah, and it has been a while since they've been in the knockout stages of the UEFA Champions League. And Jose Mourinho making the point there, as a club, obviously they are one of the great European names. This group of players, however, haven't necessarily been there. And I think we saw Mourinho win the UEFA Cup with Porto, remember, in 2003, and then next season the UEFA Champions League. And I spoke to him about that a couple of years back, and I just wonder, this group of young players, you think of Rashford and Martial and Lukaku, the experience of winning the Europa League last season. I just wonder if United seem to be getting better as the season goes on. And this is a stat, Rob, 40 matches unbeaten now in all competitions at Old Trafford. That is a joint club record. No one
gone under the radar a little bit there, hasn't it? Yeah.
Nobody is going to Old Trafford. And frankly, CSKA scoring was impressive because no one's even scoring at Old Trafford against them. And, you know, if you're that strong at home, you've always got a big chance in a two-legged tie. And United will relish being back in the knockout stages.
I think it's becoming increasingly apparent, Chris. And we obviously know when he was made the most expensive player in the history of the sport that Paul Pogba was going to be a vital component for Manchester United. But since his return, you do see a completely different gear to the whole team when they play. And I felt he was fantastic at Old Trafford the other night.
He's been exceptional this season. It's not necessarily the goals and assists. It's those little passes and flicks that open up teams in central midfield and then allow the likes of Lukaku, Rashford,
not Martial. An assist, not a goal,
just those moments in games where he sees passes that no one else does, and he's a huge player, and you know he'll love being back at United, you know, where he came through the youth ranks, and he would dearly love to lead them to UEFA Champions League glory. And look, no one is going to want to draw Manchester United.
No. Cisco, meanwhile, unfortunate perhaps, but they go into the UEFA Europa League. Great campaign from them overall. And Basel are through after their 2-0 win at Benfica. And for Basel, they possibly might have been thinking they might have been in trouble in this group, given Benfica's experience. There's certainly disappointment in Portugal. A Bola, one of the newspapers in Portugal, Vexation leads their newspaper. Benfica putting in a very disappointing performance in terms of a group stage. Points. They just never got going, did they? The Portuguese side.
No, they didn't. They were better than 0 points suggests. But you know, fair play to Basel, who were under pressure because CSKA could have gone through ahead of them. Young team. Dimitri Orbelin scoring again. He's been very impressive. And you think of some of the players that have come through Basel in recent years. Mo Salah, who we'll talk about later. Breel and Mbolo, Jadon Shaqiri. And there's a new group under Raphael Vicky, who was the youth coach, and he's given a lot of them the chance to shine in the first team this season.
Sure.
And they have repaid him. They're a very exciting team, Basel. They finished with 12 points from 6 games, unbeaten.
Not bad at all. In Group D, Italian giants Juventus travel to Greece to face Olympiacos, with qualification yet to be decided. John Bradley, watch this one for Match Day Live.
That's a lovely ball in behind. The break is made by Alexandro. Driven across goal! And Cuadrado is there! And Juventus have the lead. It's a marvellously made goal down the left-hand side. Alexandro breaking from left back. He thumped the crawl across the penalty area. And in came Juan Cuadrado to turn the ball home from a couple of metres out. It's Olympiacos 0, Juventus 1. Here comes a corner for Olympiacos. And the header across goal. It's an outstanding save from the goalkeeper. He spread himself really well, this to Szczęsny. And the follow-up shot from Ojija will go well wide. That's an outstanding save. That's nice. Here's Bernadeschi corner of the penalty area, right-hand side. Bernadeschi goes on his own. And he bends it into the far bottom corner. It's a stunning finish by Bernadeschi. And Juventus will be playing in the UEFA Champions League in the new year. That goal seals the deal. It's Olympiacos 0, Juventus 2.
Who is next was the headline in the Italian newspaper Tutto Sport after Juventus confirmed their progression. Like only great teams do, the best result with little effort. It's been a very good few days for them after they beat Napoli as well. Juve finishes runners-up behind Barcelona, who beat Sporting 2-0. In what situation do you think Juve are at the moment, Chris? How do you rate them? Because just slightly off the pace in Serie A in terms of Inter, who are leading the table.
Well, they haven't hit the heights of last season when made the final, of course, and ran away with Serie A. I think they're improving, and great teams, champion clubs, really come to the fore in the last couple of months of the season. That's when you have to peak, not on match day 6 or match day 5. And Juventus are certainly capable of that. Piraeus is a tough place to go. Sporting needed almost a miracle. They had to do something against Barcelona and hope that Juve didn't win. But they've done the job, Juventus. I don't think they are as strong as they have been in recent years, but still, they're a team with a lot of talent, and a team who appear to be getting better, getting back to the old Juve self. And certainly, as you mentioned, that win against Napoli away from home, I think will give them a lot of encouragement. And if they need it, just to prove that they are still that Juve force that we've seen in recent years.
Bernadeschi with the second of their 2 goals, of course. Barcelona beat Sporting 2-0 in the other game. Jeremy Machu with the unfortunate own goal on his return. Lovely moment as well. The Portuguese press focusing on the moment where Bastos could have equalised in that game to make it 1-1. But it was an incredible miss ultimately, as a record, the Portuguese newspaper reported. And Bastos hugged his international teammate Jasper Cillessen in the Barcelona goal after failing to score. Group B, well, we knew before match day 6 that Paris Saint-Germain and Bayern were going through. if Bayern managed to win by four goals, they would overtake them, but that didn't happen. 3-1 still. Chris, you get a sense that's an important result for Bayern, even though they still only finished second. Why is that?
Oh, I think so. You know, Carlo Ancelotti left and Jupp Heynckes, who of course led them to glory, you know, not too many years ago, came in. I don't think they've come up against a real force until Tuesday night. Paris Saint-Germain free scoring, won every game, set a new group stage record for goals and they nullified them pretty well. Yeah. And they scored three goals against them and made them look at times a little ordinary defensively. It wasn't brilliant Bayern moves that led to the goals. There was a number of crosses into the penalty areas. I just feel like for Heynckes and this Bayern team, they now have a really notable victory under their belts. And they are a team, again, no one wants to draw Bayern in the last 16. They're one of the runners-up that you really want to avoid. And they'll be hoping for as kind a draw as possible, having not won the section.
I think it's a good point. I feel you don't know who is going to win this competition or really get a flavour of it until the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
And these kind of games start becoming a regularity and you start to understand. Corentin Tolisso, by the way, with two goals. Celtic go into the UEFA Europa League despite a 1-0 home loss to Anderlecht. They pip them to third. And it means that there's spring football for a Scottish side in Europe. Very good news indeed for Brendan Rodgers. OK, still to come on Matchday Live, all the analysis and reaction from Wednesday night's matches.
Everyone can enjoy football, no matter who you are, where you're from, or how you play. Equal Game is a new UEFA Respect social responsibility campaign that positively promotes inclusion, diversity, and accessibility in football throughout Europe.
You're listening to Matchday Live with Chris Parrott and me, Rob Daly. Liverpool have not been past the group stages of the UEFA Champions League since 2008-09. On Matchday 6, they hosted Spartak Moskva, needing only a draw to progress. Richard Connolly, watch this one.
Coutinho is the Liverpool captain on the night. He's going to take it. He's going to take his time. And he's going to score for Liverpool. Firmino with a clear shooting chance. He's squared it to Coutinho. It's a lovely, lovely Liverpool goal. All the Fab Four involved. Mane stealing it on the halfway line. And he's accelerating. And he dinks it in. And there's going to be a chance. It's a third goal. Firmino stabbed it home. Milner's cross is a beauty, and Mane! A tremendous volley from Sadio Mane makes it 4-0 to Liverpool. Here's Coutinho for Liverpool, it's number 5! And the Liverpool captain has a hat-trick. Here's a big chance for Liverpool, and Mane has made it 6-0. A sixth goal for Liverpool. They can't stop scoring. Now the long ball forward to Milner. His header down. Here's Salah. Is this the moment? He takes a touch. He finishes. Salah on the score sheet. They've all scored tonight.
They certainly have. Brilliant entertainment. Richard Connolly, your commentator, will speak to him in a moment. But first, let's get the thoughts of Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp. He was asked who was his man of the match.
Well, I can say I like them all, and I can imagine it's quite important for the media to pick one out and say that was better. That I was happy. I'm really happy about the overall performance tonight. We played just fantastic football, so that's it. And for fantastic football, because a team game, you need everyone. So we had the last line, which defended outstandingly good. We had the two sixes. We were covered unbelievable. That's what you need if you want to win a football game.
I'm not gonna lie, so I don't know what Jurgen Klopp's going on about. It's very entertaining to listen to, and a brilliant noise at the start of that sentence as well. Richard Connolly joins Chris and myself now. Richard, good luck picking a man of the match from that. It was an absolute madness up front.
It was. The most obvious name was Philippe Coutinho, because Jurgen Klopp took the brave call of leaving out the club captain, Jordan Henderson, at the start of the night and gave Philippe Coutinho the armband. And 4 minutes into the game, less than that into the game, Liverpool had a penalty at Anfield in a match that Jurgen Klopp had described as all or nothing, looking to reach the last 16 for the first time in 9 years, and Liverpool had missed their last four penalties at Anfield. And the narrative of anxiety was there to be built upon, and Coutinho, wearing that armband, stepped up and took the penalty as coolly as anyone will ever score from that range. It was the starting point, and he was magnificent from there on. dribbling, turning, twisting, the speed of passing, the interplay. It settled everybody down and it allowed Liverpool to build on it. And of course, build on it they did in quite spectacular fashion.
Nine attempts on goal, seven of them ended up in the back of the Spartak net. What did you make, the call not to play Henderson and to play Chan and Wijnaldum and Coutinho in a three, we thought maybe it was a little bit adventurous, but Chris, do you think it might be a way that that Jurgen Klopp would be tempted to do going forward?
I think he knew that Spartak had to win the game so that they were going to come at Liverpool, which would leave more gaps. And I think it was absolutely the correct decision. You know, Emre Can was able to control the midfield and pass the ball to that front four, who were pretty much unstoppable. Yes, I think he might do. I just wonder whether they might now think all-out attack, if they draw one of the big teams, might be the way forward. Jordan Henderson will be disappointed to miss out. Emre Can got a yellow card, so he'll be suspended for the first leg of the round of 16. So Henderson will come back. But a certainly given Jurgen Klopp, you know, in full view that he can do that. He can literally play all of his attackers in one team and they will gel and play together, which is not always the case. How many times do you see a coach throw on forwards and it doesn't work? Well, it seems to work for Liverpool. And if they do play that way against, I don't know, a Real Madrid or a Bayern, it is going to be brilliant to watch.
That's it. I mean, it's going to be thrilling for anybody around the world, wherever you're listening, whether you're a Liverpool fan or you're not. You will tune in to watch Liverpool's next game in the round of 16 because you're pretty much guaranteed goals and probably against the calibre of opponent they're going to come up against, probably at both ends. But would you watch this Fab Four 8 days a week?
Richard, what do you think that the reaction is in the Spartak camp? Obviously, it's he sneaked that one in the Spartak camp after this defeat.
Difficult for them to take, quite obviously. And I think given their ambition at the start of the evening was a realistic one to try and qualify for the round of 16 for the first time since 2001. But their coach, Massimo Carrera, speaking afterwards, saying that Liverpool were better in every area. He couldn't explain it, but Liverpool's passion was better. Their play was better. He said they always go out to play to win. And maybe that's... they had to win the game. There are different ways of doing it. His argument, Coach Carrera's argument, was that after Liverpool got the penalty, they had chances to get back into the game.
Yeah.
I can certainly think of one low drive from Luis Adriano that Loris Karius got down well to save. I mean, I think it's stretching it to say that Spartak were in the game for large periods, although funnily enough, and it's not a large sample size, but before Liverpool got the penalty in those first 2.5 minutes, Spartak had actually started very well. And, you know, all credit to them for bravely going after that task. They knew what could happen tonight. Of course they did. But they still tried to play and risked that, risked the humiliation that in the end was inflicted upon them.
Okay, quick one. How far can Liverpool go? You hinted Monaco business, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, they were free-flowing, free-scoring, weren't they? Played with, you know, just attacked, basically, reached the semi-finals. I honestly don't see why Liverpool can't go that far. I think a lot will depend on whether they really can contain the team defensively, and that is still the question mark against them. But at home at Anfield, with that front four, there'll be a match for anyone.
They'll thrill us, but you have to be a better balanced team, I think, to win this
competition. You're spot on, I think. Okay, yeah, Sevilla got a 1-1 draw at Maribor in the end. Ganso with the equaliser 15 minutes from time. And Sevilla go through from Group D as well. They just managed to get that over the line. Luckily, the Spartak result took matters out of their hands. They were going through anyway. And Sevilla have enjoyed some highs, some ups and downs in this competition, but second, Richard.
Yeah, reaction from their captain, Sergio Escudero, said it's a proud moment for the club, the players and the fans to be in the hat with the 15 other best teams in Europe, particularly given the complicated group. We found solutions, he said. We knew at halftime Liverpool were winning and that would help us, but we came to win and we kept on trying to do that. I mean, in the end, deserve their place in the round of 16.
Yeah, spot on. And Sevilla doing it, of course, with Ernesto Marcucci in the dugout, because Eduardo Barroso has just undergone his successful surgery on prostate cancer and he's recovering currently. So Sevilla into the round of 16. Meanwhile, in Group G, Porto had the chance to seal their qualification at home against Monaco, who were already out. This was watched for us by Mike Sewell.
Porto sending a free kick from wide on their right and then lift the rebound back in. Abubakar's there and Abubakar scores. Cute angle from the left, goes in through the legs of Benaglio and makes it 2-0 to Porto. A second goal for Vincent Abubakar. Chance for Brahimi. It's 3-0. It's just too easy for Porto now. The Monaco defence, flat-footed, lifted over the top with ease, almost in slow motion. Camille Glick against José Sarr. Glick steps forward, right-footed, and drives it away, even though Sarr went the wrong way. Porto now lead by 3-1. 20 metres out! Oh, it's a rasping effort from Alex Telles. In off the far post. Nothing Benaglio could do about it. And Porto have restored their 3-goal advantage. Sarr is slightly out of position and it's been taken care of by Radamel Falcao, who stoops to head it into the corner. Ricardo with the cross into the middle and it's headed in by Francisco Suarez. On as a substitute, they've now got 5.
So convincing in the end from Porto, and Mike, they deservedly move into the round of 16 with that result.
Yes, and they're the only Portuguese club to do so. Obviously, Benfica and Sporting have missed out, so they're flying the flag for Portugal. It's going to be a tough round of 16 match, looking at all those teams that have won their respective groups. But they could pose a threat. They certainly were playing against a team in Monaco who just a shadow of the team of last season that reached the semi-finals. And from the very start, you just sensed that Porto were going to take the game to them and ensure that they didn't have to rely on any favours elsewhere from Besiktas, who were playing in Leipzig. And it was as early as the 9th minute that Abubakar got that first goal. He got his second after 33 minutes. And then Brahimi, I mean, I thought Yassine Brahimi had an excellent game tonight. He was the catalyst for much of what Porto did in their attacking play. He got on the score sheet. He was involved with those first two Abubakar goals. And then, apart from a little bit of a riposte from Monaco in the second half, that penalty from Glick and the Falcao header, there was nothing ever in doubt with this result. Telles, who was excellent at left back, made it 4-1. And then, as you heard, Suarez got that fifth. I think, in many respects, Porto have a very compact team that will be maybe cause one or two problems. And I think at home, that's where they're going to rely on getting their results in the home leg, because they've been so strong there this season. They've only suffered, one defeat at all. And I mean, they've drawn the last three matches prior to this one. They're back on track now. And I think they could be a problem for somebody else, but it'll be tough.
Mike, it didn't sound like they were any signs of nerves from Porto. This was a big night. The coach said, Sergio Conceição, we're not going to worry about what's happening in the game between Leipzig and Besiktas, but you know, players are only human, and it sounds like they went out, did exactly what the coach said, and were comfortable victors.
Yeah, and there was no point in that game where they would have even thought about what was happening in Germany, because they were in control throughout. I mean, particularly in the first half. I mean, they had 70% of the possession, and even though they had a sending off in Felipe, albeit alongside the sending off of Gazal, they never really lost that rhythm. They probably came off the gas a little bit in the second half, but just as Monaco got the goal, they struck again, and then they scored again, and they struck back. It really was a comfortable victory for them, and that's the third time now they've played them in European competition, and every time they've won by a 3-goal margin, including, as we've referenced before, the 2004 final.
Elsewhere in that group as well, worth noting, by the way, Falcao's goal, lovely moment where he got a wonderful reception from the Porto supporters back at the club, with Monaco now, of course, scoring a fine header. Besiktas got a 90th minute winner at Leipzig thanks to Talisca's goal. It looked like Naby Keita had salvaged a point from Leipzig right at the end. They had to better Porto's result to qualify for the next round of the UEFA Champions League. They couldn't do that, of course, with Porto winning regardless. fixtures. So Leipzig, in their maiden European campaign, go into the UEFA Europa League now. Let's go to Group F, and we'll start actually with Shakhtar Donetsk and that victory they got against Manchester City. It finished 2-1 in the end. Sergio Aguero pulling one back late on, but Pep Guardiola has been talking about the young players that he started in that encounter.
I'm so pleased for Tosin, Brahim and Phil, how good they play in the Champions League against one real good team like Shakhtar Donetsk, a Brazilian talent players. And the people saw it. So we came here to win. We could not, but we were there until the end to try it.
I'd make the case that Shakhtar progressing, Chris Parrott, is one of the stories of the group stage, given that Napoli were in that group too.
And I absolutely agree. They finished 6 points ahead of Napoli in the end, which is some achievement. Big game for them. Yes, they would have looked at the Manchester City lineup. They would have been delighted that there were no Kyle Walker and Sergio Aguero. But still, it was a star-studded City team. Talk there about Tosin Adarabioyo and Phil Foden handed their first starts. But from Shakhtar's point of view, they were very impressive in Manchester, and they do have a lot of very, very talented players, particularly the Brazilians going forward. And Paulo Fonseca is doing an outstanding job. And as you said, to make it through in a section with Manchester City and with Napoli is some ask.
And they didn't need to win tonight because Napoli were beaten 2-1 at final thanks to a very late goal. Richard Connolly, you cover a lot of Eredivisie football. What a result for Feyenoord. They were already eliminated, of course, before tonight.
Yeah, but the key word is coefficient, isn't it, for the Netherlands?
Oh, here he is with coefficient again.
For the Netherlands, they've got Feyenoord in the Champions League and they've got Vitesse in the UEFA Europa League. And that was the first win in the group stage for either team.
Wow.
And when you take a diabolical performance in qualifying by Ajax and PSV, who didn't win a match between them, Utrecht won a couple of matches. It's 3 wins in 23 games for the Netherlands in Europe this season.
I'm sure that was going through the fans' minds. Coefficient.
But listen, if Feyenoord, a proud club to beat Napoli, I mean, that given what Napoli have spent on players,
absolutely,
that's a massive upset.
A brilliant result for them. Elsewhere, Real Madrid got a 3-2 win against Borussia Dortmund. Spurs beat Apoel 3-0. It means that Dortmund just squeezed into the UEFA Europa League. Spurs had already won the section. Brilliant drama in Madrid as well, Chris, in that one.
Yeah, remember on match day six last season, it was 2-2. Dortmund fought back from 2-0 down. They did exactly the same. But in the end, Lucas Vazquez with a volley from the edge of the box. Ronaldo making more history in the UEFA Champions League. He scored in every single game, all six match days. First player ever to do so.
Deary me, unbelievable. So Spurs rotated as well for the 3-0 win over Apoel. Harry Winks, though, is a regular starter, and he's been speaking about their group stage campaign.
It's been a fantastic Champions League group for us. We've done really well, both home and away. A good result today as well, just to top it off and to go into the Premiership now with full confidence.
Never heard him speak before. It's good when you hear the voice of someone you've never heard speak before. Harry Winks there, Spurs group winners with that 3-0 success over Apoel. Okay, man of the group stage. We haven't got much time. Richard Connolly, you can start us off.
Quick one on the theme of Liverpool-Spartak. Roberto Firmino, 6 goals and 3 assists. Often doesn't take the headlines, but so essential to that incisive team play. Why not Firmino?
Okay, Mike, what about you?
I'm going with another Liverpool player. I've really liked watching him this season, Mo Salah.
Cenk Tosun for me, for Beşiktaş. 4 goals, 2 assists. First ever Turkish team to win a group. And they're the only debutants in the last 16. He's been brilliant, Tosun.
Right, old mix. Enjoyed that, actually. Well done, guys. Thank you very much. That's all we have time for on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live after a terrific few months in the UEFA Champions League group stages. So we now know all the clubs who will resume their European adventures in February 2018. And we'll find out who plays who when the draw is made at UEFA HQ on Monday the 11th of December at midday CET. You'll be able to follow it on UEFA.com. Manchester United, Basel, Paris Saint-Germain, Bayern, Roma, Chelsea, Barcelona, Juventus, Manchester City, Shakhtar, Besiktas, Porto, Tottenham, Real Madrid, Liverpool and Sevilla are all through. We'll be back in the new year on UEFA.com. But for now, from Chris Parrott, Mike Shull, Richard Connolly, myself, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Match Day Live team, it's goodbye.
It's a lovely, lovely Liverpool goal. All the Fab Four involved.
Chelsea have equalised at Stamford Bridge. It was Eden Hazard with the shot, but it took a wicked deflection inside the box that deceived Oblak.
Rashford has made it 2-1. And in what, 60 seconds, United have turned it around.
And Juventus will be playing in the UEFA Champions League in the new year.
Aboubakar took his opportunity and scores yet again. It's one step towards the round of 16.
Salah on the score sheet. They've all scored tonight. 7 goals for Liverpool. A heavenly performance. And they're riding into the last 16. Crest of a wave.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.